At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Let's take another look. This is Asa in that doc talking about she likes seeing him in court and doesn't quite believe all this is actually going on. Number two.
Court and C. Rex. Of course.
Todd's having a snack.
Staring at me.
You're good.
That should do it. All of these girls that were found on Gilgo Beach, they were girls. They were somebody's daughter. They were somebody's sister. Nobody deserves what they got. But Rex was not seeing prostitutes. He's a family man.
Jesus.
He didn't do this. I would need to hear it from Rex, face to face, that he killed these girls for me to believe it. My husband never kept me out of anything.
That's Asa talking about what an utter complete denial. I mean, she is compartmentalized. I mean, it's not like there's not evidence here that he was doing these things. I mean, it's pretty much common. There's living ass workers who've come out and said, yeah, went on a date with him. He was creepy. He was this. He was that. There's people who can confirmed it. They found a document in his basement. It was a blueprint for murder labeled 8K2002-04.
Just like an architect would create.
And it's there's four sections in it. One of the sections, and I'm just kind of going through an abbreviated version of it here. He titled Problems. So these are things he feels he needs to look at a piece of paper to remind himself of so he doesn't get caught. DNA.
Marker. Yeah, that's a problem.
Tire marks, blood stains, fingerprints. He knew what could catch him. And he also needed a note to remind him that these are things, these are issues. Engineer-like, but very rigid in thinking. Not, you know, it's got to be here or you're going to miss it. And then there's supplies, Asa. The supplies list. Your husband had literally this on the same sheet of paper. It was sectioned off. Rope. Heavy rope for neck. Light rope broke is literally what he put on the piece of paper. So he had a light rope that broke and he had to remind himself that you better get the heavy one next time.
Yeah, next time you're at Home Depot, don't get the cheap shit. Go for the expensive stuff. It's worth it.
Even if it's on sale. Even if you are going to get a free bottle of Windex with it. I'm sorry, it's not worth it. You need to get the heavier rope.
Yeah.
Tarp plastic, drop cloths, saw, cutting tools.
This isn't a weekend project where you're building a deck.
No, he was not. Especially when you get the saw and the cutting tools with a side of acid and lye. I'm pretty sure he's not he's not going up north to take some codfish and soak it in lye and then have a little lutefisk dinner at the end of the day.
Yeah, he doesn't strike me as a Norwegian.
Not quite.
No.
there are some Norwegians who are like, oh my God, yeah, that sounds delicious, doesn't it? I'm Norwegian. I've never had it in my life. There's something that sounds not appetizing about eating rehydrated fish and poison.
It's not good. Growing up in Minnesota,
big deal.
Minneapolis. Hello. I'm all Minneapolis here, but that is the most disgusting food I've ever had in my life. And you can argue with me in our comment section all you like. I'm not changing my mind.
I don't know that you're going to get a lot of arguments about lutefisk. Anyone had lutefisk, let us know in the comment section. It's literally, it's dried cod, correct?
Yes.
Codfish, I believe. And then it's rehydrated in lye.
Yeah.
And then it's rinsed for like days to get the lye out of it. And then essentially you have this like gelatinous rehydrated fish. And the funny part is about it, this was not necessarily a traditional food in Norway either. This was like survival stuff off the boat. But somehow everybody in Wisconsin and Michigan and Minnesota are like, let's eat poison fish. You know,
it's what we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was always at the table on Christmas for some reason.
And it smells like death.
Oh, it does.
And nothing like ruining the smell of anything with a little bit of lutefisk.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Then he has another section on here after he's done contemplating his family lutefisk recipe. Just labeled DS, dump sites. So he's putting little parentheses around things. Mill Road. The Marionville location, Ocean Parkway, behind Mooney Airport. And then he has GPS coordinates included with pre-planned disposal locations. And another section that says targets, references to small women are in here.
Yep.
Get rid of drills. Remove ID marks. And the like victim selection criteria.
Piercing,
yeah,
but I mean
head and hands too.
Oh God.
Remove trace DNA, remove tattoo marks. Small is good. He puts in parentheses again. So Asa, your husband couldn't have done this. Then why does he have this document in your basement? This doesn't seem like, you know, I'm bored on a Sunday. Let me just put some crazy notes down about a weekend project I have coming up. Get sleep before hunt. Too tired to create problems.
So this was literally this man.
Verbatim notes.
Yeah, this man was basically in primal mode.
Yeah, completely. More sleep and noise control equals more playtime. He's talking to himself like a child too. More playtime, because that's what he called the time with the victims, dead or alive. Use push pins to hang drop cloths from ceiling. Like, he actually needed reminders of how to do this. He's like, what do I affix this with, duct tape? Maybe I should use push pins. Let me check the notes. Yep, the notes say push pins. What kind of, how, I'm just, this is a hard brain for me to wrap my mind around. And how it's firing.
There's no spontaneity in his thought. Mm-mm. He needs a checklist. He can't go off the grid and go, well, I remember the last time I did this. This is what I need to do. He needs the checklist.
There's no spontaneity in his thoughts, but for such a crime that is so off the board of normal, healthy human thinking, that's what makes you almost think that there would be more, I don't know, adventurous thoughts or not needing to write down such details. One would think, you know, I don't know why you'd need these type of notes. They really seem to point out the obvious. Okay. Unless this is just like a checklist that he's going to go over after the fact and go, yep, did this, did that. Oh, shoot, better cut off that limb because might someone find that? I don't know. I mean, I'm wondering how he's using this. Is he using this like as he goes through the crime? Build tables with crossbar. the methodical nature of a serial killer, in parentheses. And then there's Mindhunter references. He documents quotes from John Douglas's book, "The More You Do, The More Clues You Give." So he studied FBI profiling techniques, and he's trying to be one step ahead. And at the end of the day, you know what? He was. He got away with this for a more than a decade. So how do they eventually catch this guy? Well, there was a DNA breakthrough eventually, a pizza crust. January 26 to 23, surveillance team been watching him. He finally left some of his goo from his mouth on a pizza crust. They collected it, and guess what? That DNA matches the hair follicles that were on some of the burlap sacks. And here's the thing. It wasn't just his hair that was on the burlap sacks. It was his wife's. It was his daughter's. It was his. So it came from a familial location, like probably the garage or that hoarder house that they lived in, which is not super surprising when you look at just how decrepit the house was, that everybody's hair is going to be on everything. I don't think they had weekly cleaners. I don't think they had monthly. I don't think they had decade. I don't think they cleaned. I don't think it'd been cleaned for a decade at least or longer. So that that DNA that was found matched. And that's been the big argument this whole time in this case has been about the DNA. And is it admissible in this case? Because it's a different way that they now have of identifying the DNA and bringing the strands essentially to life, if you will, and can they be brought into court? It's a new way of technology of doing the ID and the sequencing on the DNA. And it's going to be one of the first times that it is used in a criminal case. The court just ruled that the other day. Of course, the defense of Heuermann is going, well, wait, this has never been used before. You know what? There's always a first.
That's what science is. It learns. It does better. It improves. Yeah.
There's always a first time for this, and it's going to be used because it is reliable, and it's been shown to be reliable many, many times over.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now, and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.